Iran's formerly supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, is dead.
This was our last best chance to strike what we're doing right now and eliminate the intolerable threats posed by this sick and sinister regime. And they are indeed sick and sinister.
Our rules of engagement are bold, precise, and designed to unleash American power, not shackle it. This was never meant to be a fair fight. And it is not a fair fight. We are punching them while they're down, which is exactly how it should be.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio, it's Howie Carr.
You know, St. Patrick's Day is coming up, and again, that's why we wanted to discuss the Gardner heist again with the new book coming out. But it's also the day of the big parade, and it's also the breakfast at Hallett Horses Hall. All the hack politicians show up. It's not what it used to be. It's a shadow of its former self in the old days with Billy Bulger et al. But they still have one. And it's always good to have a surprise guest or some kind of silly props to bring forward. It looked like Diana DeSoglio, the rogue state auditor, you know, who's trying to audit the state, and she's on the outs with all of them, that she would be like the object of most of the attention and the jibes, et cetera, et cetera. But now there will be a new, perhaps, mystery guest at Halitosis Hall on Sunday for the annual St. Patrick's Day breakfast of the Hackorama. Lamar Cook has been released on $25,000 bail.
Dang it, Howie, we just got rid of the snow. Now it's coming back.
The snow is coming back. Reports of the arrival of the spring have been greatly exaggerated. The white powder is about to return. He has been released from custody after being lugged since October, facing drug and gun charges. He posted $25,000 bail yesterday through a surety payment provided by Kamai Norman, whoever that might be, Kamai Norman. And this is the guy. He was I think he was making $115,000 working for Mara Healey. She was the DEI. He was the DEI assistant regional director to a woman who had a lot in common with Mara Healey, if you know what I mean. Being from outside the state and being unmarried, et cetera, et cetera. So He was the number two guy in the office, and he was bringing the cocaine into the governor's own office, Suite 300 on Dwight Street in Springfield. He had scales. They found a drug scale with residue of cocaine and fentanyl on the scale in the governor's own office. And when they lugged them, they got 8 pounds or 8 pounds, eight pounds. I think it was, it may have been 8 kilos, but I think it was 8 pounds of cocaine. And then he also had another 19 pounds delivered to UMass Amherst. He worked in the hotel in the center of campus there. And so he had 19 pounds delivered there and 8 pounds to the governor's office, Suite 300 on Dwight Street. And then when he was lugged, the governor gave him a going-away present of $31,000 as his severance pay. And then she claimed that she didn't know anything about it, just like she didn't know anything about the two natural gas pipelines being canceled. She didn't know anything about the background checks on any of the Haitians that turned out to be criminals that she was letting into the state, et cetera. She doesn't know.
I know nothing.
She knows nothing. Nothing. So This is just, you know, this is so amazing that that the guy is getting out just in time for St. Patrick's Day. Well, yeah, but he's, I don't know if he'll have time to get to South Boston. You know, he's probably, you know, trying to reestablish his connections to the community. He's a good man. His lawyer says that he was really a very, very trusted member of the community. 844-500-4242.
As my grandfather Ambrose Finney would say, that's the Irish of it.
Small Duvall says those 8 keys are an anecdote. Yeah, they are an anecdote, and so are the 19 keys at UMass Amherst. Those are just a slightly larger anecdote. But so there is going to be a he has been released. He's the victim of a racist frame. We all know that. All right, 844-500-4242. If you want to talk about Lamar, you can, and give us a call. And it's just, this is what happens when you don't care about anybody's quality. The guy was arrested in a drive-by shooting in 2001, and the charges were tossed eventually, but we found the story in the Springfield paper in about 10 seconds. I mean, that's the beauty of Al Gore's amazing invention, the internet. And we checked his record in the small claims court, and there were all kinds of unpaid debts, credit card companies, et cetera, suing him. He had all kinds of cases going in the probate and family court, which usually involves child support payments. He didn't have a Massachusetts driver's license, which there's no reason he wouldn't have a Massachusetts driver's license, unless maybe a judge had ruled that because he would have fallen behind in certain payments that he would not be able to get another driver's license. So he had a driver's license from Georgia. He's working as the top deputy aide to the governor of Massachusetts, and he's driving with a Georgia driver's license. And he's got all these outstanding claims in probate and family court and in small claims court. But, you know, hey, he fit the bill. She couldn't have another unmarried woman in the second spot in her office, so she needed a male. But it couldn't be a white male, that's for sure. Couldn't be any of our listeners at WHYN or, you know, someone like myself from up in Franklin County in the old days or someone from Holyoke. No, it had to be another DEI type. And this is what you get when you just hire by people who check the box, members of protected classes. This is what happens over and over and over again. Billy, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Billy.
Howie, if Mara gave him a $31,000 bump, why did he have to get somebody else to bail him out? Why did he just use that money?
You know what? That's a good. Well, originally the bail was $75,000, and the district attorney was trying to up it to $100,000 to keep him in. I mean, the guy. If the allegations are true, he was a drug kingpin, wasn't he, Billy? Is that the kind of person you want out on the street? What?
Maybe he had to pay his drug lord or something with the $31,000, you know, so he didn't have to bail himself out.
Thanks for the call, Billy. 603, I thought you were going to say the Irishman in ICE custody, Seamus Culleton, was going to be the special guest at the annual Irish Breakfast as the guest of Seth Moulton. And he's going to be, Seamus is going to be introduced by the successor to Mike Barnicle, Kevin Cullen. Kevin Cullen is the one who told us what a great guy Seamus Culleton was until it turned out that he had a record as long as his arm in both Ireland and the U.S. He was a deadbeat dad in Ireland. He was married to a black woman who'd reported she'd been getting anonymous racial slurs after they broke up. Yeah, he's a swell guy. Swell guy. Fred, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Fred.
Hey, hi, Howie. Hey, I just wanted to mention two famous news photos and see if you remember them. And I'm a guy that goes back to when your columns used to be set in hot type. there was one famous one in Boston around the busing era. There was a guy on the steps, I think, of the
City Hall Plaza.
He had a flagpole. Yeah.
Right. Stippo Rake's brother, the guy that the Whitey Bulger stole the liquor store, that was his brother. He had an American flag, and he was using it to spear a black guy in a three-piece suit. That picture was taken by Stanley Forman from the Boston Herald American, who I used to work with. He won the Pulitzer Prize for that.
That burns in your mind. that burnt in my mind.
That's what makes a great news photo, right, Fred? I mean, I think the picture of the guy, the cop in New York jumping the barrier, I think that's going to live in people's minds for a long time, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I agree 100%. And that picture of Trump holding his hands up, his fist up.
Right.
I got so mad when the union leader up here in Manchester chose the worst picture of him to run the next day.
Right.
Just really fired up on them. And
well, I'm still angry they didn't give the Pulitzer Prize to the guy who took that picture. I mean, it was not just an insult to that photographer. It was an insult to Trump, because they were just trying to say, you don't mean anything. You're just the former president, and you know, someone, they tried to kill you and they shot you in the head and you survived, but we don't give a bleep.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree completely.
And, Stanley Forman also got a Pulitzer Prize. He got the picture of there was a fire in the Fenway, I believe it was. And these two people were out on a fire escape, a young woman and a young kid. And the fire was getting close to them, and they either fell or jumped. And you see them going down in midair. I mean, really, that was an earlier one before the anti-busing flag photo. That was an even better one, and he won the Pulitzer Prize for that too. And then he was out with a leg injury when the Herald won the Pulitzer Prize for all the pictures from the blizzard of 78. So, Stanley Forman. Then he went to work for Channel 5 as a news photographer. 844-500-4242. Cozy Earth is a really, really great company. I got their blanket, their weighted blanket, and then my daughter loved it so much I had to buy her one. Now I've got some of their sheets. These are the most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. They're warm, and you don't notice how much difference sheets can make until you sleep on really, really great sheets. This is what Earthcrafts does with every piece that the Cozy Earths makes with every product that they make, from soft supportive socks for your steps through the day to breathable comforters that help you rest deeply at night. Every detail is intentional, so your every day feels quietly elevated. Again, whether it's slippers or the comforters or the sheets, everything is great with Cozy Earth, because small choices make a difference. The socks are designed to support you step by step and make your feet feel better. It's just everything is great. And again, my daughter loves her blanket. She requested it. She and I were arguing about who was going to get the blanket when she was visiting me a few weeks back. Now she and her fiance are arguing every night who's going to get it as they're relaxing and watching TV after work. You can get a 100-night sleep trial from Cozy Earth. Try them for yourself. Every detail is designed to feel effortlessly comfortable. Returns are easy, but after feeling this level of comfort, you're not going to want to let them go. All the products from Cozy Earth have a 10-year warranty. They're built with care and precision because true comfort is meant to endure. Go to CozyEarth.com and check out all of their great products. You're going to find something you like, and you're going to be able to use my code Howie for up to 20% off. Discover how care in every detail transforms simple routines into moments of true comfort and ease with Cozy Earth. And again, use my code Howie for up to 20% off for whatever you choose. And if you get a post-purchase survey, be sure to mention you heard about Cozy Earth right here. Experience the craft behind the comfort and make every day feel intentional. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Grace's trip to Italy this fall with Colette Tours. To see the slideshow tonight with Grace, sign up at HowieCarrShow.com and click on banner. And we'll have Sam from Colette on with me at the very end of the show to tell you more about the tour before the slideshow begins. So stand by for that. It's a great opportunity. Italy is great, and Colette makes it very easy and very enjoyable. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarrShow.com, is Senator Josh Hawley says it's time to declare victory in Iran. Do you agree? Yes, we should get out now. No, it's too early. We should finish off the regime and then leave. No, we should also nation build, like in Iraq, or give it a couple more weeks and then decide.
It's too early. We should finish off the regime and then leave.
73% of the audience agrees with you. They say finish them off, then leave. 21% say give it a couple more weeks. 5% say get out now. And 1% wants to nation build.
Okay. 71 says, what happened to your left hand and fingers? Someone said yesterday, did Roscoe bite you? Well, Roscoe did it, but he didn't bite me. We redid the carpets in the condo, so now there's a rule that you can't have your dog on the carpet anymore. You gotta bring him down in a little carriage, or in your hands, but he can't be on the carpet. So I had him in the carriage when I was going down to walk him on Sunday with the mailroom manager, and he gets really excited if we're both there, you know. And so I had the leash on him, and as soon as he got out of the elevator, he jumped out, and he caught my hand and just dragged it along and tore up my index finger and my middle finger pretty good. I love that dog Roscoe, but he hurt me. Again, so that's all. It'll be better by the end of the week. Thanks for asking though. 844-500-4242. The guy says, I never knew that the guy with the flagpole was Stippo's brother. Thanks for that. Stippo came from a big family. One of his sisters was on the organizational chart for Whitey's drug dealers, and then of course there was Stippo, who was poisoned in a real estate deal, gone bad. 603, you always mention members of notorious Boston gangs, but the name Punchy McLaughlin is my favorite. Yeah, he was a boxer, obviously. You know, I in my book, Plug Uglies, I printed all the Mass State Police circulars on all the victims of the gang wars. And they have all the tattoos that they had on them. And Punchy, in addition to having a great name, he also had what the all-time greatest tattoo I saw on any of those guys. He had on his left or right forearm, he had a picture of a mermaid. Do you know what the mermaid was doing, Jared?
I have no idea.
Smoking a cigarette. You don't see many mermaids smoking cigarettes as tattoos nowadays, do you? Kind of gone the way of Semper Fi or USMC. All right, I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio, it's Howie Carr.
617 says, is Roscoe out to kill you? Maybe this is payback for you sending him to New York. I don't think so. I don't think he knows he's going back to New York in about a month. 617, another 617. This sounds like a Dementia Joe story. Are you sure you didn't try to grab his tail? You see, you know what a pug's tail is like. It's all curled around. It's hard to grab a pug's tail. Not that I've ever tried to grab his tail. I learned early on, unlike Dementia Joe, that you don't grab a dog's tail or a cat's tail. Or anybody's tail, for that matter. 781. So he's excited when it is you and the mailroom manager together, but loathes it when it is you. He doesn't loathe it. He just doesn't get excited. He doesn't jump out of the carriage. And someone says, what kind of man puts his dog in a carriage? I resent that. I didn't come here to be made sport of. But the answer is a man who's trying to obey the rules of his condo association.
A beautiful dog. A talented dog.
We spent a lot of money on these new rugs, and they don't want the rugs getting wrecked. I understand that. 844-500-4242. John from New York is with us. What's going on today, John? I haven't even looked at the market. What's going on?
You know, you had a down day overall, although I will say the picture of Bill and Hillary Clinton walking around New York City was pretty funny today.
Oh, I haven't even seen that either. Are they going to Gracie Mansion for an IED?
No, they were walking around New York City, I guess, at some meeting, and looked like Bill wanted to push Hillary under the bus, so you should look at that picture if you got a chance.
You mean like hilarious. The Honduran did on the Upper East Side the other day to the 83-year-old Air Force veteran?
Yeah, the illegal Honduran. But, that was pretty good. Listen, one thing I wanted to let you know, and I meant to mention this the other day when I talked to you, the one thing I'm concerned about, and I've been concerned about for a while, and I don't know, you try and talk to people in Washington, but the economic data, although the nominal data looks really good now, the real GDP data, what I really look at is the number of younger people working, and that's plummeting now. The companies have just gone on a hiring freeze, and a lot of it's the artificial intelligence taking over stuff. And companies have just sort of put a hiring freeze on, and they're not hiring people. And you can really see it when you look at the job data. It's only minuscule right now, but it's just completely picked up. And of course, the workers that are being hired are mainly blue collar workers and government workers.
Right.
But I'm really getting concerned about this because the president really hasn't talked about it much. But if you look at any of this data, it all points to the same thing. Job growth has completely ground to a halt. And it's not just the weather, because there is normally a slowdown in the beginning of the year. But I'm concerned about it. And when you try and talk to people in Washington, at least people I talk to, they keep saying everything's great, everything's great. And it's just not really what the data is showing. And they need to get interest rate. I've been saying this for several months.
You know, I know you've been saying this, John, but the interest rates have come down a little bit, and it looks like the freeze on residential home sales is thawing, and people are getting back into the market.
Yeah, they are, but I guess my point is, like, if you look at everything, real job growth is basically ground to zero, essentially. And I'm not talking if you look 1 month. I'm talking if you look at the last several months. And you strip out healthcare workers, there's no net hiring. Now, some of that's good because a lot of the hiring was just we're stuffing the economy.
And I mean that we lost. We've since Trump became president, we've lost I think 330,000 government federal government workers,
right.
and that's a good thing,
right.
isn't it? I mean they're either doing nothing or they're hamstringing the productive part of the economy.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is if you look at the productive part of the economy, I mean, I know Trump keeps talking about hiring, but net net, if you really look at the real jobs, and I'm talking over several months, net real jobs just not really going up much. Part of it is a transition to this energy. You know, we're just not producing enough jobs. And so I'm agreeing with Trump. We need lower rates. And in order to get the economy going, we need to get the mortgage rates down 100 basis points. And if we don't do that, we're just not going to have the growth that we need.
You know, I know it's not something that you can turn around by the midterms or anything like that. But, I mean, AI is not going to take away any jobs in, say, HVAC or plumbing, is it? Or auto mechanics?
Well,
I mean, is it a bad thing?
I would argue it is. Like AI, you wouldn't even think about this. But like, if you go on YouTube now, they have videos to show how you can do a home repair by yourself. So, you know, you don't need a home repair person to fix a pipe. Maybe a pipe's a bad example, but I'm giving examples of stuff you can find. In fact, my wife was begging me for months to fix a towel bar that, you know, had fallen down, and I just didn't feel like hiring a guy for $200 to do it. And eventually she just figured it out. She did it herself. I mean, so
yeah.
I'm just saying there's just not enough jobs right now, given the growth of the workforce. We need more jobs, and the only way to get the jobs, you know, I know of that I can tell you, is to get interest rates down, and they need to come down by 100 basis points, or we're not going to have any job growth.
But, I mean, what is Trump supposed to do? I mean, he's been hamstrung by the courts in terms of getting rid of Lisa Cook and Jerome Powell, and Jerome Powell's out the door anyway. Now it's only 2-3 months away.
Well, yeah, there's not much he can do, but I mean, he needs to get rid of Powell, and he needs to move Warshin, and they need to cut. You know, there's a governor on the Fed, Governor Moran, I believe, who's been arguing for a while, and I agree with him. Interest rates need to come down 100 basis points, and mortgage rates are still 6%. They've come down, admittedly, but in order to get this economy really roaring again, remember, a lot of the jobs were absorbed by illegal immigrants that are here.
Right.
So in order to get, like, real Americans off the couch.
But there's 2 million fewer illegal aliens. It's just it's a drop in the bucket compared to the disaster that's occurred. But, I mean, it's a start, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I mean, but again, you know, everything is at the margin, right? And I'm just saying that coming into November, you know, it's a little slow right now hiring. But we need to get the job growth rate up, because we've got to get all these government people in jobs where they can produce something, get the economy growing, and they're just not there.
Well,
I wish I had something more bullish, but but I do think I've been looking at this for several months, and I'm just telling you, the job growth is not fast enough to keep the economy smoking along. So if they want to keep it smoking along, they have to get more private sector hiring, and it's going to take a while.
Yeah, it is. I mean, again, because Powell's going to be around for a while, and then there'll be a hangover from when he's gone. So it will take some time. So what is the market predicting? I mean, the market always seems to be able to figure out what's going to happen, whether it's going to be who's going to win the Super Bowl or what's the next geopolitical move. What is the market thinking is going to happen with the war right now? Is it going to end quickly or not so quickly?
Yeah, I think they think it's going to end quickly, but I think all these things coming together. And the other thing I neglected to mention, but I want to mention, you probably have been reading about this private equity blow up, and that's a serious matter too, because that funded all the job growth for the last couple of years. So what happened is in 2021, 2022, when the banks stopped lending, all this private equity money stepped in and started funding stuff, and that money is kind of dried up because all the private equity business is blown up. So, again, that was another source of job growth. And another way to look at it is it's effectively a cut in the money supply. So even though you don't see it in the data rate yet, it's effectively a reduction in the money supply, and that's going to drive growth even further. So That's how I think the market sees it. And a lot of the private equity companies, Blackstone, for example, BX is a symbol. That stock's been cut in half in the last year, and a lot of private growth was funded out of companies like Blackstone. So that's why I'm worried. Again, I don't know who's running this, the White House, but
I find it hard to care about Blackstone. Isn't Blackstone a super woke company, John?
Well, yeah, they're in New York, so they're super woke by definition. But yeah, they are. But it, you know, the end result is they're the people that have the money, right? And they're constricting their lending, so that's going to reduce job growth further. That's why I'm worried. Again, I think President Trump's aware of it, but he needs lower rates is the bottom line.
You're Johnny One, though, John, from New York. I know you keep saying it over and over again.
I'm not changing my tune on this. I wish I could change my tune, but I do think they need to get the focus on lower rates, and the sooner the better.
508 says we've quickly forgotten where we were less than 2 years ago. You know what? There's something. I agree with you, 508. I don't want to be too gloomy about it. I mean, it looked like it really looked like we were down for the count 2 years ago, yeah. Didn't it, John?
Yeah, it did. And in fact, you know, look. I mean, the president. I mean, he just rolled out this refinery today, but he's done everything he possibly could do. But again, you got to. The people in the House and Senate are holding them up on stuff, common sense stuff. So that's why I'm worried. I'm not worried about President Trump. I'm worried about the clowns in Congress that are doing everything they can to halt, you know, him rolling out more of his agenda sooner.
Yeah. And what do you think? The gas prices spiked and then they've come down. I mean, are we over Well, we're not over the fear mongering, but are we over the worst of the gas prices skyrocketing?
Yeah, I think we're over the worst of the gas prices. The thing to keep your eye on though is this blow up, if you will, in the private equity market, because that's going to have a huge impact. It's basically a reduction in the money supply, any way you look at it. So that is going to slow growth down, and that's the thing I've been concerned about it. I'm getting more concerned about it because it's just. The money supply has dried up, and it's going to slow growth going forward.
508 says there is a recurring opening now for Supreme Leader, and at the rate they're turning over, it may be good for a few hundred jobs in the next several months.
Yeah,
and there's also a lot of openings in the intensive care units in Tehran and Ifshan and all those places in Iran. John from New York, thank you for being with us. Thanks for checking in, and okay. hope things will be looking up a little bit. But I don't know. It could again. I'm looking like 508. How quickly we've forgotten where we were less than 2 years ago. It looked like it was all over, didn't it? Sometimes you never want to talk about things like that, but it looked like it was. The country was done. Imagine a scenario where you or your loved ones face a threat. Your first instinct might be to resort to lethal force, but it's crucial to consider a safer, less lethal alternative first to avoid the legal complications associated with firearms. Introducing Byrna, Byrna's less lethal pistol launcher. This device is equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammunition and designed to incapacitate an attacker for up to 40 minutes. Providing a critical window for you to escape or to get help while minimizing the risk of permanent harm. Here's a real-life account from a Byrna customer named Adam. While heading to his night shift, Adam encountered a road-raging driver who swerved dangerously, stopped abruptly, and aggressively approached him. Remaining calm, Adam dialed 911 and armed himself with his Byrna launcher. He aimed the laser at the aggressor's chest, which immediately de-escalated the situation. The hostile driver returned to his vehicle and awaited the police. The officers confirmed that Adam's non-lethal response was perfectly judged. That night, Byrna didn't just prevent a potential tragedy, it saved two lives without causing physical harm. Byrna is legal in all 50 states, requires no background checks, and can be conveniently shipped directly to your door. More than 500,000 units sold and proudly hand-assembled in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Visit Byrna.com/Howie now for an exclusive 10% discount. That's BYRNA.com/Howie, BYRNA.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
So, we're trying to figure out what kind of conditions there are for the release of Lamar Cook, a reputed drug kingpin and a close confidant of the governor of Massachusetts. And so Tim Dunn has been working on the story, our Herald reporter, and he's trying to find out if he has to wear an ankle bracelet or report to somebody, a probation officer, or something like that. And he's getting the runaround. He's just been, I'm used to getting, this is what happens in Massachusetts. I get the runaround when I'm trying to find out about this former state trooper, and Tim Dunn gets the runaround on the former aide. Tim Dunn from the Boston Herald, what's been going on with trying to find out details about Lamar Cook's release? Fill us in.
Well, it's kind of hard to keep track of all these embattled former state troopers or aides or governor's aides, Howie. But, you know, in this particular case, I had called back the Hamden County Superior Court, and it was their probation office, I believe, which the first person I got, a couple hours ago, provided me the docket report and everything very nice. He was very kind. I called back to figure out, you know, if he was on a ankle monitor, any of his conditions for his release. We'd expect that. That's all public info. And
right.
I was first hung up on by the first guy I talked to, who told me that we can't comment on that. I tried kindly informing him that you certainly can. You are actually obliged to. And he hung up on me. So I called back, got bumped around to a couple different people. So I got to another guy, and I kind of explained the situation, and he said, well, we're not going to do that. We're all leaving for the day. I want to go home. And
what? It's not even 5 o'clock yet.
I know. Well, hell, they're all probably clocking in an overtime anyways. They probably, you know, don't leave till five. But this is what happens in this state. I mean, it's incredible. I want to go home. So go screw.
So that's it. They all want to go. So they all want to go home, and they as if they really put in an arduous work week anyway. You know, you go to any of these, not so much Springfield, but any of these district courthouses in the Commonwealth. They're all abandoned all the time. They look like an old factory that nobody's been in since 1962.
I guess so. You know, it's just crazy. All he had to do was transfer to his chief, he says, and she was apparently on the phone, and he couldn't wait. You know, he had to go home and do what he had to do. So all of us are. I was just thinking, though, Howie, what if I was a member of the public who was, you know, really needed to figure out something for my own case? I'd be screwed.
Yeah. Yes, you would. Like, yeah, that's the way it works. In the halls of justice, the only justice is in the halls. So have you figured out who provided the bail for him yet? Because somebody just sent me some information. It's a former social worker. Is that who it is?
Oh, that's who it is. I just have the name in my report that we just did for the Herald. It's a Kamai something. I'm trying to pull the name.
Kamai Norman.
Kamai Norman. Yeah, I didn't recognize the name, but if someone, I can try to do some looking too. If someone recognizes him as a social
worker. I'm going to send you some stuff that I just got on her. She was a DCF, the Division of Children and Families social worker, a while back. I don't think she ever made any big money. I don't know what she's been doing lately, but I'll send you some more stuff on her and. Former state social worker. She's the one who posted the bail for him. So he's out and about just in time for the St. Patrick's Day time on Sunday in South Boston.
Oh, I can't see him there.
He and Seamus Culleton will be the guests of honor. All right. Thanks for checking in with us, Tim. Good job. Keep working the story. I'll send you that stuff right now. I'm Howie Carr.